Hey there, it's Dr. Nazanin Mo'oli, and I want to chat with you about a key ingredient for a fabulous date night, feeling sexy. And come on, let's be real. What you wear plays a big part in how you rock that confidence. That's why I'm thrilled to introduce you to Quince. Quince brings you premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at just $30, along with washable silk tops, 40-karat gold jewelry, and more. And guess what? All of their goodies are priced 50 to 80% lower than similar brands. By teaming up directly with top factories, Quince skipped the middleman and hands us the saving. Plus, they stick to factories with safe, ethical practices and top-notch fabrics and finishes. How awesome is that? Picking from Quince's website was tough, because they have a ton of fabulous choices. I ended up going for their 100% washable silk sleep dress in champagne. And let me tell you, my husband was floored. He's convinced whoever rocks this is in for a blast. I'm going to record some content on that dress so you can see how fabulous is that dress. Elevate your date night style with Quince. Pop over to quince.com/sexology for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexology to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sexology.
Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Mo'oli.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Sexology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nazanin Mo'oli. First, I wanted to start this episode with reminding you guys that we're currently doing a survey, and I'm very interested to see what are some of the topics that you guys as our listeners want to learn more about. I was looking at our statistic and noticed that some of the episodes are very well received and some of them people are not interested in it as much. That's why I wanted to make sure that I'm choosing the topics that are interesting to you as our listeners. If you have any specific question that you want to ask me, and if you want to get featured in the podcast, you can email me those questions to drmo'oli@sexologypodcast.com, or you can record your voice at sexologypodcast.com with your question. If you don't want me to disclose your identity, I would be happy to do so with changing the details. Our topic today is about sex and Alzheimer's. So many of you guys might remember my interview with Dr. Steve Budansky. He was on our show about 6 months ago, and he talked about the techniques that he developed with his wife, Vera, about reaching extended massive orgasm. So these are the kind of orgasms that last for hours. And he and his wife used to do lots of demonstrations and coaching to women to help them achieve this extended massive orgasm. So when I initially contacted Dr. Budansky, I invited Vera and Steve both on the show. And Steve shared with me that Vera currently is struggling with Alzheimer's disease, and she's not doing any interviews. And while we were doing the first interview, it was so heartwarming to see that how much love and care Steve have for Vera, and I was seeing her. She was sitting next to him, and you can also hear her in this episode. So Steve, it seemed like with her almost at all the times, and the amount of love and care he has for her is very inspirational and very different than what you see in couples, that when things get hard, they kind of give up at times on each other. And one of the things that Steve shared with me previously was that they continue to have this wonderful sex life, which this is not the topic that many people talk about. And I know some of you guys might have conflicting emotions about it. So if this is something that's kind of causing a reaction, you can certainly skip this episode, but I think Dr. Budansky talked about lots of good information about how their sexual relationship changed, how Vera still continued to enjoy sex. So I think this is a very good episode. You might hear again Vera on the background. So there are going to be some noises and voices in the background. It's just because Steve, it seems like, I care for Vera at all the time, and she's there and she was there. As far as Dr. Budansky biography, he was with his wife for more than, I think, 4 decades. So Dr. Steve Budansky and Vera have been teachers of sensuality for the past 35 years. They met in 1980 and were married in 1983. Steve received a master's in molecular biology at Sony and Albany in 1975 and doctorate at Moore University in sensuality in 1992, with an emphasis on female orgasm. He first studied and then taught at Moore University through 1992. Vera started doing one-hour orgasm demonstrations in 1980 and also received her doctorate in sensual studies in 1992. Steve became certified to do these demonstrations in 1987. They developed another orgasm school in 1992 after leaving Morehouse called the Welcome Senses, where they taught for 5 years and certified 5 new students into becoming teachers and demonstrators of orgasms. Without further ado, here's my interview with Dr. Steve Budansky. Welcome to another episode of Sexology Podcast. I am very excited and honored to have Dr. Steve Budansky back on our show today. Dr. Steve, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Nazanin. I feel very welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's great. And I know before we started recording, I was sharing with you that I know that you have a good new book and I'm very excited to talk about it. And I know that this is a very interesting topic since part of it relates to your own personal history and relationship with your wife.
Yes, that's what it's about. It's about both of us, really. It's about how we relate and what's changed and what hasn't changed and what emotions I went through and how she responds to me.
And I think it's fantastic because I'm very passionate about this topic because we have family history of Alzheimer's. And I remember that when my grandmother was struggling with it and toward then how challenging it was. And I know it's hard for the caregivers as well. And I know you don't like that term. You said it in the book, but I think
it's okay wonderful. For other people, just not for me.
So I was looking at the list of the publications you and Vera had, and you guys worked together as sex educators for years, and you had this kind of live demonstrations of orgasms, and you wrote extensively on extended massive orgasm. So this is something that it seems like you guys shared more than like 40 years, it sounds like it, together. And I would imagine this getting this diagnosis changed few things as far as the intimacy, as far as how you relate to each other. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the changes that you notice in these areas?
Okay, well it's, you know, it's kind of gradual. I mean, it wasn't like overnight. And, you know, we realized Vera was losing her memory and she had some form of dementia. And I didn't want to take her to a neurologist. I talked to her doctor over 10, 15 years ago. I said, you know, she doesn't remember things a lot. And she said, oh, that's just old age. So I said, okay. But I knew it was more than just old age. But then, you know, it got gradually more and more she wouldn't remember things. So we finally took her to a neurologist. And it wasn't a surprise. So it wasn't like the diagnosis.
Sure.
All of a sudden hit you. It was kind of a gradual thing. And the neurologist was nice, but she wasn't very helpful. She gave us a couple of pills, but she said they don't do very much. And they didn't. So we continued doing sessions with our students. And I would do pretty much all the talking. And Vera would chip in once in a while, but not too much. And then, you know, past 3 so years now, she doesn't really want to do the sessions anymore. So I do them by myself. And once in a while, I usually ask you, do you want to get done first, but you do a little demonstration. And usually she'll say, no, you go ahead. So we go to the bedroom. And once in a while, she really wants to participate, and she does a really good, she still really gets off really well. And she'll do a little demonstration for the student, and they all love her.
That is so fantastic. So you still include her. And I know you guys, the sessions you're talking about, is it the orgasm demonstration that you guys have and have been teaching for years? Is that what you're referring to?
Well, it's a private session. It's not the big class. It's a private session for like one student or one woman or a couple. We teach the woman how to get off better and how to have more pleasure and how to feel and how to extend her orgasm and make it more intense. And so Vera usually will just say, you go ahead and do it. She'll be there when I talk to the woman. When I go to the bedroom to use my hands on her, then Vera will leave us alone. But sometimes she'll want to join in. I always invite her to come in. And sometimes she'll just fall asleep on the couch here and not go in the room. And sometimes she'll come along and participate. And it's always nice to have her. But she's pretty cool about it.
I have nothing.
That is so great. Yeah, that you guys are keep doing what you used to do. I know it was part of the teachings that you guys were doing and the classes that you were teaching.
I just mentioned this. We used to do like a 1-hour orgasm demonstration. I think that's what you're talking about.
Right.
We have a video of that also for sale on our website. But Vera doesn't get off for an hour anymore. But she still gets off. A couple of times a week, I'd say, on average, sometimes more, sometimes once a week, sometimes three times. And she gets off about 10, 15 minutes. And it's probably not, I mean, it wouldn't be like, you know, the old days when she got off like, you know, like gangbusters, but it's still really good, better than anybody else, practically.
Definitely more than average that I hear from my younger clients, like right. In their 20s. And I think that's fantastic that she still has this kind of vibrant sex life. It seems like certainly declined compared to where she was, but it seems like very much right now it's very present.
Yeah, and like, as far as like seducing her, I mean, I used to, it was always pretty much, she didn't really say, okay, like, I want to get done now. Because I was pretty much offering a lot. So she would have to reject me sometimes because it's too much what I wanted, not just to pleasure her. And so now it's pretty much the same way. I mean, except now when like she forget, I can ask her and she'll say no, or maybe later or not now. But if I ask her, she'll forget that I asked her before. So I can keep asking her, you know, until she says yes. So it's kind of easier in some ways.
That's a wonderful reframing. And I guess the other question I have, I know people are in different kind of stages with Alzheimer's. Does she remember you? Where is she in her diagnosis?
Sometimes she remembers. I mean, she knows like I'm this guy who's really nice to her. And I'll do something nice for her. And she says, you take such good care of me. You're so nice to me. But she doesn't know like I'm her husband or my name always. But sometimes she does. And I write these poems to her, like on these pretty cards that we, you know, get at these special stores, and I give to her like for an anniversary or for a birthday or Valentine's Day. So we have them all over the house, these pretty Aww. Cards. And she opens them up and says, she says, look at this. I said, yeah. She said, you ever seen this before? And I say, yeah, I gave that to you. You see Steve on the bottom, it says, love Steve, love always. And she says, oh, that's so nice. I really love these cards. Aww. So they're like the present that keeps on giving because she just appreciates them all the time.
That's wonderful that you guys have this reminder of the past, and it's something that you guys shared and continue to share, which is so lovely.
There's also this, in our bedroom, we have this black and white photograph that a woman, actually she was a photographer for, I think, French Marie Claire magazine. And we blew it up and put it in a frame and it's before our TV, and it's like, I think it's right after the demonstration that we did, and Vera's wearing a robe, and I'm kissing her, and she always sees that, and that reminds her that this is her room, and this is her place, and she says, look at that, there I am, up there.
Aww.
Yeah, and you're kissing me, and she says, yeah, I am.
That is so wonderful. I know they talk about the reminders, but these things like for helping enhancing memory and kind of helping navigating things, but just so wonderful that you guys have this kind of added romantic kind of sexual twist to these reminders.
Yeah, it's, we have these pictures all over the house, a lot of photographs of us together. And she sees herself. Sometimes she doesn't recognize me because I might have darker hair in the photographs because I'm 20, 30 years younger, or 15 years younger even. I say, that's me. That's me you're kissing. But she said, kind of smiles.
How is her personality changed? Did you notice significant change in the personality or is she still most of the time herself?
No, her personality is pretty much the same. I mean, she's still stubborn about some things. And she's probably sweeter than ever, but she's always a really sweet woman. Not sweet, but nice. She's a nice person and generous and, you know, willing to share everything. And, you know, we'll go out sometimes and she said, I want to pay for it too. And I said, it's okay. You know, it's coming from our bank. We're both paying for this. So don't worry about it. She's always willing and she's always like that. And she hasn't changed really.
That is so wonderful that you guys still like and do lots of things together and still she has that generosity that you mentioned that she used to have. I guess it's, I can imagine, again, talking about it from my family history, there comes with tremendous amount of feeling of loss for the partner. So I guess, how are you coping with all these changes?
Well, I think writing the book really helped me because I kind of confronted, you know, all my thoughts and fears and expose them and wrote about them. And once you do that, it kind of alleviates a lot of the, you know, the scariness of it. Plus I've been reading a lot of spiritual books like, Eckhart Tolle books, The Power of Now. And you realize it's just that your ego that's not in agreement with the way things are. And once you get into agreement, then things are really beautiful just, you know, without being the way you think they should be. You know, just by accepting things the way they are. And that really enables me to be a better care lover, you know, without not being upset and not saying, why did this happen to me? You know, feeling, you know, like a martyr or, you know, like I'm really enjoying the growth that I've made through her. So it's kind of interesting that I've become a better person and probably more loving and more accepting, more present.
That is so fantastic. Again, it's just standing truly by your partner throughout all the ups and downs and being truly present for her. It seems like you include her as much as she was included in the past and activities and the things that you guys were sharing together as much as possible. I guess one question that I have, I mean, I bet while you were doing the writing the book, maybe you did some research on that. Obviously, with Vera and you guys have such a unique bond and you guys had this kind of history of teaching and having these demonstrations and all of that. But one of the things that often comes up is the issue of consent. And like when people have memory problems, what is your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I don't force her to do anything. I usually offer something else. I'll offer, you know, want to have an orgasm, you want to get done. And sometimes she doesn't really understand what I'm talking about. Then I'll say, take your pants off, and either she will or she won't. Usually she will. So say, okay. And like yesterday, she took her pants off, but she didn't want to take her panties off. So I said, you know, I can live with that. So I kind of got out of the bed, and she had her pants. I took my pants off, and she took her pants off, but not her panties. And I rubbed on her through her panties, and she got off really nicely. It was like, it was fun. She enjoyed it, and she didn't take her panties off the whole time. And then I did myself, and she kind of played with me also. And she gets off when I get off, so we both got off when I got off too. So
that is so great. Again, I'm just at awe of how continuously you guys being in part of each other's life, and also having the sexuality as still part of your life that's very present. Because again, it's unfortunate sometimes I hear people stop having sex even like much younger in their 40s or late 40s. And it's just, I think it's such an important part of life and pleasure. I think it's helpful for all ages and all stages.
She'll be 83 in November, so she's really in pretty good sexual shape. I was thinking, like, a couple of weeks ago, we were lying in bed, and she took her pants. Usually she likes to sleep, you know, either in pajama bottoms, or she keeps her pants on from the day and just goes to sleep like that. But this time she took her clothes off, and I put my hand on her thigh, lying in bed, turned the lights off, stopped watching, you know, the TV's off. And I just put my hand kind of medium pressure on her thigh and just felt her legs. I love her legs. And she starts getting off like gangbusters. And I'm not rubbing or anything. She's just getting off. And I'm not even touching her genitals, close to her genitals. I'm not on there. And she's like really getting off. So it lasted for probably 5 to 10 minutes like that. And then she had enough and she went to sleep. And the next time we had a date, where I said, you want to have a date? And we got on bed and she got undressed. And I put my hand on her thigh to see if I could duplicate that. Nothing happened when I did that. I mean, it felt good, but she wasn't getting off. So I started playing with her genitals and then she started getting off. So I had to work a little harder that time.
And I think it's blessing that she has been, I know, again, you guys had this kind of model of extensive, massive orgasm and like having this like wonderful sex life earlier. So it definitely helps right now than still like helping her to continue and enjoy pleasure. And it seems like you really value her still enjoying and having sexual pleasure in her life.
For sure. Yeah. And that's why I think it's really important for younger women to... I mean, not the only reason, but to really learn how to have pleasure at will and how to get off really well. I think it's really important for a lot of things, and it's definitely helping Vera get along with this, this, whatever you want to call it, this challenge.
And what has it been like? What kind of a feedback have you been getting about for your book? Because I know it's recently been published. What are some of the feedback that you got from public?
I'm not getting a ton of feedback. A lot of people say, I'm going to get it, but I don't know how many people really have read it yet. But, you know, some people really, really liked it. And like Christiane Northrup, I don't know if you know who she is. She's written a number of books about women and menopause and women's bodies. Mm-hmm. So I gave her the book to read before I published it, and she loved it. She was inspired by it. She said, I bow down to you. This is wonderful. So she really liked it.
And again, it's just such a fantastic kind of writing. I know you are a writer, but also kind of the tale of continuously being part of someone's life and helping her to still experience pleasure and being truly showing up for your partner.
Yeah. And I also, the book kind of ends around 2017, even though I updated it somewhat, but I continue to journal about our relationship, which is the last part of the book anyhow. So I keep that on my website. So I've been putting blogs kind of every week. I still haven't caught up to the present date, but I'm somewhere a little less than a year ago now on the website. So you can follow. And a lot of people come see Vera and they say she's doing better than she was a couple of years ago, which is unusual.
I think that is so great. And the amount of love and care and the wonderful relationship that you guys are having, I would imagine if that would contribute to her doing better.
Well, I don't know, because we've always had that. I don't know. There could be a couple of different reasons. I read another book called The End of Alzheimer's by Dr. Bredesen, and they added a couple of the supplements that he recommended. Our diet has been pretty pro health, I would say, for a number of years, but I think it got even better after I had an illness where I had a lung abscess and then I got some reflux. So we kind of had a more GERD-friendly diet. I think that's helped Vera too.
No, and I think you're right. You've been having this like loving relationship for about like 40 years, but I think many people, it's so challenging to care for someone that's struggling with Alzheimer's. And again, I see it in my clients that they kind of it's hard, they're tired, they cannot truly show up for the partner, but it seems like you're doing the best. And I think that's a lot.
Well, luckily, I don't have to go to work. I have time. So it's what I do. So I do some writing and I do some reading, but like Vera just like We take walks like 2 or 3 times a day. We stay active and we do everything together pretty much. Sometimes she'll sleep in the morning and I get to do like a couple hours of writing or take a little walk by myself. Most of the rest of the day when she's up, I'm with her and she's with me and we're in the same room and we do a lot of hand holding, like we'll hold each other's hand in bed or when we walk, I hold her hand and we kiss a lot. So like we walk around town and we have these different places around town where like there's a couple of fountains or a bridge and like we have to kiss in those places. It's like part of our routine.
That is so awesome.
You know, we hit the fountain. We can have to kiss now. So we have kind of fun. And we walk around town and people are really nice to us. And they say, oh, you guys are matched today. And then we kiss at home. Or if we get in an elevator, I always press her up against the wall and kiss her. And she really turns me on and really gets turned on when I do that. And has little orgasms in the elevator.
That is so wonderful. Yes, that having these rituals and doing these fun things during the day that you're truly connecting with her. So I guess I'm kind of curious, do you have any, again, it's not usually people who are like providing for their, like taking care of their partners who are struggling with having the diagnosis of Alzheimer's. They usually don't have the same kind of relationship, at least based on the experiences I have. So do you have any recommendation for our listeners that their partner, their husband's wife, boyfriend, girlfriends, they struggle with Alzheimer's? What are some of your recommendations for them when it comes to around intimacy, connection, and keeping the love going?
Well, I think being present and appreciating the moment is always a good place to start, you know, and not being angry or, you know, having or fear or worries, and just being in the moment and putting your attention on the other person. And again, when you touch somebody, touch for your own pleasure and kiss for your own pleasure when you kiss somebody. Like we hug a lot and, you know, it's just enjoyable just to, because like words don't work so well anymore. Like when trying to communicate by words doesn't always work. But if I say, give me a hug, and Vera likes hugging me, we'll get stand up and hug each other for, you know, a while. And that feels really good. And it's like a connection there. And then when she does have an orgasm, like when I do rub on her pussy, it kind of wakens up, I think, for a while, some of, I don't know, her memory, but her present, being present, and her happiness. And she feels happy. And when we'll have dinner or something afterwards, and she'll really like the food more. I mean, I think anybody's like that, but it's the same way, you know, with Alzheimer's or dementia.
Right, kind of awakening that part of us that's like seeking pleasure and experiencing pleasure and orgasm, I think, for everyone is very healthy. And I think especially in when you're trying to connect with someone and like when things are challenging, that also is very important.
And if you want to give somebody an orgasm and then it's not that intense, or just enjoy where the person is at, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, don't try to force them to do anything. Just kind of play with them and enjoy, you know, because some of the stuff doesn't make sense sometimes, but if you just can go with it and just see where it goes.
That is so wonderful. I bet many of our listeners right now, then they're curious about where they can get the book and where can they find the writing that you said, the diaries and all of that. So if our listeners want to get a hold of you, what would be the best way?
I mean, they can email me at stevebodansky@gmail.com and they can go to my website at orgasmmatters.com. And that's where the blog is. I have two names. It's extendedmassiveorgasm.com. And then I wrote another book called Orgasm Matters and got the domain name for that too. So that's a little less scary to some people. So Orgasm Matters is where the blog is at.
Awesome. And what about the book?
The book's on Amazon, amazon.com. I self-published it with CreateSpace.
Okay.
It's part of Amazon. And they do a pretty nice job. It came out pretty happy the way the book came out.
Yeah, and I have a copy. It's wonderful and it's very well written, and the cover and the design and everything is great.
Yeah, and And the print is fairly large, so an old person could read it pretty easily, you know, or a nearsighted person.
Awesome. So I make sure that I have that, those information, the website and the link to the book on Amazon on the show notes. And Dr. Steve, thank you so much for your time and sharing your experiences with us. Have a great day.
Thank you, Nazanin. You too. Bye.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed my interview, Dr. Steve Bodansky. I apologize for the quality of the voice. I thought that was, there were some issues with microphone, and but I think the episode offers so much great content. So that's why I decided to air it. You know, it was so powerful to hear from Dr. Bodansky about how much care and love he has for Vera. And it made me wonder about, what do I want as far as my sexual health and continuous intimacy during later stages of life? My grandmother struggled with Alzheimer's and she passed away. And I know last year of her life, it was just so painful for her, for my family. And I think it's fantastic that Steve continues to support Vera to experience pleasure at later stages of life. I would love to hear your thoughts about this conversation we had. You can contact me and let me know about your thoughts. I would love to hear your reaction to this episode. You can email me at drmoali@sexologypodcast.com, or you can use social media. My handle is @OasisToCare in all different social media, and drop me a line. Let me know what you think. I'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening to the Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.